All right, joining us today is my mother, Noella. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm happy to be here.
You're happy? Yeah, I'm doing great. The one and only Noella, as far as I know. Do you know any other Noellas?
I know some Noelias, which are Hispanic. It's a Hispanic version of it.
That's the Latino Noella.
Right. Okay.
How many of Noelias do you know?
A couple that I've worked with over the years.
Do you guys, feel a fellow, a connection based on
no,
your
not
name?
Really. Not especially, no. I don't like my name.
You don't like it? Why not?
I don't know. This is so old-fashioned.
Oh, is it an old? See, I don't know. So it's like a Agnes type name?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Not that bad, but yeah.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah. I didn't know if it was an old thing or if it was just kind of. It could be a new thing. It could be like, let's take Noel and add something to it.
Just make it up.
Yeah. That's a good way to get a unique name. It's just to kind of take an existing name, maybe combine some names.
I'd rather have a boring name.
Yeah. Well, I brought you on today primarily to get your sense of me as a child, and I'm loosely connecting this to my birthday. And that way there's some thematic reason to do it, because I am turning 35, and so now I'm quite distant from my childhood. I don't remember too much about it. No, I remember.
Oh, I do.
So,
you were a handful.
Okay, so I mean that's a good place to start, I guess. I don't know, behaviorally, what's your overall assessment? Would you say I was normal, abnormal, and in what ways did I deviate from your standard child?
Well, I think you were a good boy. You were always the smartest person in the room. And wanted that to be known.
Okay. All right. And in what way?
You just wanted everybody to know how smart you were, but we already knew how smart you were.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you believe that I was smart, or you were just humoring
me?
Oh,
yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Too smart. Too smart to stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were four, this would be an example of your attitude.
Okay.
I heard you screaming, and you ran to me crying, and you were telling me that your sister, Heather, had bitten you on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I examined this, you obviously had been bitten. That part was true.
Oh, there you go.
However, your sister didn't have any front teeth at the time.
Well, bite mark analysis is kind of not really fully developed.
You had to have teeth. So, long story short, you bit yourself and told me that your sister did it just to get her in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
That seems like something a lot of kids do, though.
I don't think so.
Trying to get their sibling in trouble. I don't think that's too unusual.
They need to have teeth, man.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I wasn't too smart, or I would have come up with a better bite. You know,
she was known for her biting, but not that day.
Mm. Jane likes to bite me whenever we're fighting.
Oh, well, don't bite her back.
She doesn't bite her sister, as far as I know, so.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good, because biting really hurts.
Yeah.
That really hurts.
Yeah. It's not a common move for adults in fights. I guess it's difficult to pull off after a certain age, but if you can get it, you got hard teeth and jaw strength, kind
of. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah, that's a.
Take a chunk out.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have another tooth story.
Tooth story. Okay, so we're going to...
Tooth story.
The themes here are going to be body part related.
No, just these two.
Okay.
When you were five, you were about five, and your sister would have been about six.
Mm-hmm.
And the tooth fairy was extremely busy at our home. Mm. Teeth were falling out every day. Mm. But one weekend, while you kids were staying with your dad for the weekend, Heather lost a tooth. She lost a tooth. Well, this is when you, Matthew, discovered that the tooth fairy paid better at dad's house than it did at mom's house.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough. It's good to keep track of these things.
Yes, yes. You saw a chance. Mm-hmm. Make some extra money. So, not long after that, your sister lost another tooth. Well, she decided to hold on to that tooth until she was at her dad's house. And this was not okay with you.
Yeah, that's not fair. You shouldn't game the system like that.
Yeah, well, at some point that day, you secretly went to her room, you took her tooth, and you put it under her pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, the tooth fairy was a no-show.
Mm.
And my daughter was very traumatic looking for her tooth.
Mm.
So thank you again, Matthew, for the drama.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
We found it, though, yeah?
We did find it, and we put it away where she, because it was allowed to take it to your dad's, you know? Mm-hmm. You had those same opportunities.
Yeah, but I wouldn't take advantage of something like that, you know.
Yes, you would.
No.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, you would. So, let me see. Behavior.
You got a list. So, what's the... one thing I'm wondering about is, you know, as an adult, the medical community has claimed that I have I'm a neurodivergent. And then I have a touch of the tism. And I'm wondering what sense, because, you know, as a child, no one ever said I had a touch of the tism. But, you know, I don't know how, you know, what was your sense of that at the time? Do you look back and go, oh, yeah, that makes more sense now? Or do you think maybe the medical community is just a little overzealous in accusing me of having this disorder?
Well, I think the world today is very interested in labels.
Okay.
Which, personally, I felt that labels would not help anybody get anywhere. Okay. Although I did speak with your pediatrician about some things.
Okay. What were the things?
And we just about certain things that I was concerned about.
Uh-huh, such as?
We decided, actually the doctor decided, since I had always dealt with depression, that maybe you were, you know, having a little bit of that. So we tried some things that did not work. We came off of that, talked to the doctors again about really just not being as social as I would have thought you were. Mm-hmm. That was really the only thing.
That was the main thing you were concerned with, was lack of friends and things of that nature.
Right, right. And so he said it was possible that you could be on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
However, that it was so minor,
right,
that he basically suggests we just wait it out and see.
See if it healed itself like a cold.
Well, just see if maybe you were just shy,
Sure, yeah. It's
that sort of thing.
because some
And
people have social problems. That doesn't mean they have a disorder. They're just,
exactly. And once you put a label on somebody, I mean, to be quite honest, now that you do have that label, has it helped you in any way?
It gives me an excuse for bad behavior,
Thank you.
Well,
Thank
that
you.
does help me though, because I can just say, ah, you see, I've got this thing, so no. And then
No, I didn't want you to.
they have to
I didn't
accommodate
want no
me because of my
excuses.
disability. Then it's an accommodation thing,
Yeah, you don't have a disability. You're just a little bit of a smart ass.
It's a great, you can turn, being an asshole into being disabled, and instead of being that being something that people are mad at you about, they now feel like, oh, it would be inappropriate to be mad at you, and we actually need to, we
No.
need to do.
No, because you're smart, such a small little bitty thing, you're totally intelligent enough to overcome it.
No, it hasn't helped me. I think it could have. I think it could have
You
helped me only in an ex only in a narrow sense, because in an employment setting, I think it could help you because of if you're not fully capable in the social realm, that can cause problems for you in the employment setting. But if you can tell them and prime them to be like, look, I got this thing. Like, it's not, you're probably misunderstanding. I'm just, whatever. I think it could help a little bit there. And I think it has helped in one case there where I was not going to get hired until I told the person, like, look, I don't know what the deal with the interview is. Actually, it was Liz who told them, but like, you should really disregard whatever you got from the interview because that probably. It probably was not accurate, and because of autism and whatnot. And they did; they gave me a second look, and but now I'm just self-employed, so it's like I kind of solved the problem by just not being employed normally,
But I do believe that you could.
Yeah, I feel
You
like I
could.
could be employed normally.
Yes, you certainly could.
Yeah, as especially if they,
Everybody has glitches,
If they leave me be. Well,
Everybody has a glitch.
the weird thing I've noticed is that you had like a real job, and so did Dad, and like everyone I knew growing up had like real jobs where you do real work, And that real work is in a way very tangible, right? You can see, like, did you actually do what you were supposed to do? Like, did you do it? The work I do now is kind of bullshit. It's like fake. It's kind of, you can't really tell, like you can see how I wrote something or whatever, but it's not as tangible. And what I've noticed is at these levels and the sort of professional type jobs, because it's so hard to necessarily figure out whether someone is doing a good job or doing anything really necessarily. A lot of it's very social, So I do think
Absolutely.
it causes some issues there, It's not as objective to figure out. Like if you're working at a retail store, it's like, all right, well, did you put the stuff on the rack? Did you do the cash registers? Did you, And it's like, yeah, I did all that. And here it's sort of like, well, did you, How's the brief coming? I'm like, oh, it's good, I guess. You know what I mean? It's a lot less
It's a different
clear.
level of work.
Like you could t probably tell with managers, right? Sometimes, you got the managers, and they don't really seem to be doing a whole lot. But so how do you eva
Was
how do you evaluate the top managers, you know what I mean? How do you
manager.
evaluate whether they're doing doing well or not. And so much of that is just kind of the impression they leave, which is very social.
Mm-hmm. Well, in retail, pretty much everybody has to work. But there is a lot of delegating that goes on, which, you know, if you have somebody that can do the job, I'm all about delegation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you've got it going and it's getting done, you should just go to lunch.
Well, sure. Now, yeah, I mean, if you're the manager, that's always the game, right? And then you say, "Well, I'm just such a good manager."
That's right. Look what I did.
Look, I'm
all my little babies are working hard.
Yeah, I'm coordinating my team. Okay, so that was your approach, was to say, look, whatever's going on here that's causing these social difficulties, it's best to, you know, we don't want to label it. We just want to see what we can do to overcome it.
No.
And insofar as there's no medicine, there's nothing really to do for you, then it does, you know, I could see how that, that seems like a wise move.
You
gotta
remember, you had perfect grades. You were in the gifted and talented program. You went to school on a scholarship. You had 4.0s. Why would we treat that?
Yeah, you know. No, there was... I mean, so that was one of the other things that I've reflected on in the childhood is this... duality between a weird thing, and many administrators would express this to me, the combination of highest academic performer, but also one of, if not the highest, a behavioral offender.
Yeah, I have some of those more. Okay. If you want to hear
Yes. What are?
Well, I do remember once when you were six. You were 6 years old, and you and your sister were enrolled in a Christian daycare after school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was never a good fit for you. Now, your sister Heather had no problems here. She had many friends, never a complaint. Everything was good. But most days, when I would pick you up, you would be in trouble sitting against the wall with your counterparts.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, one day, that was the norm. You know, it looked like you'd rubbed a little spot in the wall with your head. But one day in particular, the center director, which had no sense of humor whatsoever, mm-hmm. invited me into her office. And I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad right away. But she tells me that Matt had a verbal altercation with another boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
and
fine.
And she says that Matt argued forever and said that he had a constitutional right to defend himself.
Okay. Yeah, that's mistaken.
That is true. And I could not hold back my laughter. So I soon, you know, changed daycares. This place wasn't for you.
So that was your solution, was not that I need to straighten
you
up.
You needed a new institution. That's right. A new place where people might have a little sense of humor and respect your intelligence. For somebody to say that at six, I think is extremely intelligent.
Okay.
I don't think that, you know, I don't think you were being a smart ass yet. Maybe.
Okay. So you were, so to the extent that part of the excuse making for my behavior was the sense that I was intelligent. You're like, he's just kind of beyond his years.
You were above all of us. Yeah, you mentally, you were like, I don't know.
Well, not above the adults. I mean, not maybe once I got to about 10, you know.
Than the average teacher, you were smarter than the average teacher. Yes, sir. You know you were.
You know, by the time you get into high school and stuff, you start surpassing some of them, certainly.
Yeah, you wanted to lightly show them how smart you were, but still ride that line to where you weren't in trouble.
Mm.
See, I didn't miss much, no.
Okay. So that was one approach to it. But so what were the, because you seem to regularly have to contend with behavioral issues. I remember a few times they kicked me out of my sixth grade sort of pod or whatever, and they sent me to another one. And then I remember in junior high, I also got kicked out of my pod and got sent to another one. And then I remember they wanted to send me to an alternative school.
Mm-hmm.
And, how did that all go from your end of things? Because
well,
I didn't get to see
I,
all of that.
I really didn't think that you deserved to go to an alternative school,
mm-hmm.
not because of what you had done. You know, I mean, what you had done was somehow outsmart the teachers into having them overstressed about something that was stupid.
Do you remember the specifics? Because I don't remember it at all.
It was where y'all went to the orchestra every year. Y'all got on a bus. They took you to hear this music. Yeah, that's what it was. And the year before when you went, you developed a massive migraine headache, which you had a lot of migraine headaches.
I did have them. Yeah. Don't have them anymore.
Yes. No. So when you brought that sheet home to me to sign it, I said, oh, no, you're not going to that. So I just didn't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these teachers continued to ask you for it because nobody wanted to stay there and take care of you. You know what I'm saying? They all wanted to go.
Yeah.
Well, you played a game with them and just said, you know, said, I don't have the list. You never told them that your mother said, no, you can't go.
Mm-hmm.
And it just developed into, you know, more and more and more. And I guess the principal was really mad about this, that you didn't just flat out say, hey, my mother's not allowing me to go. You were playing a little power game with them.
They don't need to know all that, you know.
I did not feel that required an alternative school.
That was the thing they tried to put me in alternative school for?
When you have straight A's.
Oh, that was probably a cumulative thing, right? That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, maybe, but, you know, that was the same principal that was fired that same year.
Yeah, embezzling. I remember that.
It wasn't the principal. It was her assistant had taken a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I ended up going to the superintendent about this alternative school because I didn't see that it was necessary. Mm. I didn't see that it would help anything.
And her judgment's not good. I mean, as evidenced.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about any of that. After me reporting what was happening, I think they put a magnifying glass to the school, and that's what happened. Even made the paper.
So that's a clever. So you went up to the superintendent in order to try to make a fuss to try to bring the heat back down on the principal so that I wouldn't go to the bad kids.
Right.
School.
And it worked.
That's, you know, that's some shit I would do.
I guess I see where you get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, when you believe in something and it's your child, you'll pretty much do anything.
Yeah, one and abusing processes and stuff. That's always a good. Is always a good move.
Yeah, but then again, Matt, you could have just told them the situation. They could have called me, but you know, they send me this paper, says sign this to give your permission. Well, I don't give my permission, so I don't sign it, and that's the end of it. Well, I didn't know you had your own little private war going on at school.
It's funny that you you've decided that you're not sure why I get migraines, but just it could possibly be that orchestra music causes them. And so,
absolutely.
I don't know. That seems a little crazy to me.
No, all loud noises. Even playing basketball in the gym would give you a headache.
Okay.
No, I mean, you had had one the year before, and I remembered that you...
Well, sure, but I was having them like twice a
week. ...grew up and everything. Well, why put you on a bus and haul you somewhere? Let them stay here and work.
You know, they ended up putting me in... I remember that, actually. Though I feel
detention,
like...
yeah.
I feel like they... So that's interesting. So were they... So instead of going to the field trip, they put me in the on-campus suspension.
Right, for supervision. Yeah.
But I thought that was just, oh, well, we can't take you, and we have this lady who, like, she watches these kids, and you've already been in on-campus suspension like 50 times this year, so just hang out with her. And I was good friends with the OCS lady.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure you were.
In their mind, was that an additional, that was actually a disciplinary thing. They were...
Well, they were telling me that it was because there wasn't going to be in it. And that was the only extra teacher because all the teachers were going with their kids, supposedly.
Yeah.
But maybe they thought that was disciplinary. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I was fine with that.
Put you in an alternative school where these kids have done God knows what, you know, when you're just playing mind games, I don't think that's a good fit.
It does seem like it would have been a strange.
Yeah,
I kind of would like now to have, you know, done a month or two in an alternative school, just to see how this would have played out. Because you're right, and the principals and stuff in high school, I thankfully got a very permissive VP. You know, they would start expressing, you know, sort of the unusualness of me being in the principal's office all the time. When everyone else they deal with is like violent, you know, maybe bringing cigarettes or something, like they're dealing with. And so, and that's who they would send to the school. So it would be funny to imagine like, okay, so it's just the most like violent, maladjusted kids. And then there's me just sitting. I don't think that would have gone well for the school.
No.
I think if you put me in a little prison school and I'm just sitting there just running my gears all day.
Yeah.
I probably could have come up with some crazy shit to do.
Do you remember when you were running for office in high school?
I do. Yes, I ran for the presidency twice, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember your campaign?
I do. I mean, I'm interested to what do you remember of my campaigns?
Well, the one that sticks out to me was when I guess you were supposed to make campaign posters for the hallways to obtain votes.
You need to promote yourself, certainly.
Right. And the next day, I was at work when the principal called and asked me.
You weren't busy, though. You could always take a principal's call.
Well, yeah, I did a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of that. And usually I was about to laugh. I mean, it was all I could do to listen to these stories and see how mad they were at, like, nothing. But she asked me, she said, did you look over Matt's posters?
Mm-hmm.
And I replied, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come to find out that you had secret posters.
Mm, yeah, you don't want to reveal all your material.
Yeah, I had not seen these. And you, of course, took your butt to school, put all this up in the hallways. And come to find out, the posters that they were they were all inappropriate. Even the ones I approved were really inappropriate.
Yeah, I disagree.
But the ones you failed to show me said, vote for me or I will eat your firstborn.
You got to get attention. And I felt like that was a good attention getter. That was, I feel like that was a low level one. That was a very low level one because that's like not a serious threat. You know, it's not, I didn't say I'd shoot up the school or something. It was just kind of like a,
right.
It was kind of like a biblical threat.
It was a really big deal for her, you know, and I'm sitting there going, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh. But, you know, I guess my sense of humor was different than theirs.
The poster I remember from that, and the one that I feel like has lived in infamy, was the poster where I said that, it said, you should vote for me because I am the only candidate who has publicly denounced the actions of the Nazis. And I had put little swastikas with little lines through them, indicating my opposition to Nazis and Nazism. And completely accurately saying that I was the only one who was denouncing what they had done. No one else in the field had said anything about the actions, their actions. And that was really the one I remember them fixating on. And I was very annoyed by it because when I went to the principal's office, she would show me the poster and she would say, there's a swastika on. And I'm like, yes, there's a swastika on it, but it is crossed out. And the message of the poster is that I am against it. I can't be against Nazism.
That's because you were more intelligent than they were. And you were playing a game as well.
You don't think that was sincere? I felt like they were being a little like, well, you know, you can't just be like, well, we can't have swastika. I know you can't have swastika, but we're on the same page here against the swastikas.
They didn't want to discuss swastikas at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the...
Not like eating babies. They don't want to know about this.
Well, so that was...
They don't want to know that you're thinking about this.
That was part of a poster series of plagues. I was trying to, you know, there were a lot of very religious people at the high school, and I was trying to, you know, tap into that by making reference to various biblical plagues and maladies and events and saying that those would, you know, would occur if I weren't elected. Obviously, they would not, but, you know, I felt like... You know about this Bible story. I know about it. So, like, maybe we can connect over that sort of humorously. But that's not how the administrator saw it.
No. You knew how to get to them. That's for sure. And all they ever did was call me. And I'm like, you know, I would punish you. But it was very hard because... You know, you never hit anybody. You never spit on anybody. You know, you did all your work. I mean, why do you want to nitpick?
Yeah, you didn't want to ruin the special sauce. You're like,
I didn't want to crush your creativity.
Yes, right. yeah. That's very evolved of you to say, well, you know, these things all come in a bundle, and if I push down the one, then maybe the good stuff will go too.
I thought you were hilarious, but then again, I didn't like them calling me. You remember me taking you to work and setting you in my office?
Many times, yeah. That's where I would go when I was sick.
When I had to pick you up because of behavior problems. And I would set you there, and I wouldn't let you do your homework. I wouldn't let you do anything because that was what you were just going to sit there and watch me work.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And my store manager would come in, and he, you know, it had been so many times, and he would just say, "Good afternoon, Matthew."
Yeah, I remember I use the adding machine to check some receipts or something. You had me doing that. That was back before, you know, computers.
Well, I still wasn't going to take you home and let you, you know, let you just have your video games and do whatever you wanted. No, that's not punishment. Yeah. No,
punishment
you don't
is
sit
just
here
is sitting in the back of a JCPenney store.
That's right.
Yeah, that is kind of punishing.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
It's exciting too, though. You know, there was a vending machine.
He would just grin and say, "Good afternoon." Because he wouldn't even know you were there till he come in there.
Yeah, I remember some of that. I don't remember the precise reason why. Oh no, actually, you know what happened? I remember pieces of why I was expelled. They were kind of just moving me around. You know, it was sort of like, okay, you've got about a few months with this teacher until they really can't deal with you anymore. And then we'll just put you on another one and then, you know, get you through the grade. Like, it was just kind of like people just had to be worn down and they would just shift me to someone else.
Yeah, couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. Do you remember wearing the face masks to school?
I know. That was very, now I look, that was very ahead of the times, if you think about it.
Yeah.
When the SARS hit,
you had me buy some because you said we were getting low on the face masks because you would wear them when you mowed.
I wear them when I mowed. That was also very wise because of the particulates.
Well, so I buy them. And we go home, and then I find out that you passed them out to all your friends.
No, I didn't do
and
that.
And y'all wore them to class because the teacher had some sort of odor.
No. You fully missed the boat on all that. I didn't pass them out to anyone, and I wore it because that was when there was SARS. You remember SARS? Mm-hmm. It was a global viral pandemic. And so I was wearing a mask for protective purposes.
No, that's bull.
That's 100% what happened. And no. I did it because I saw.
Why did you tell me? You told me your teacher stunk. Mm-mm.
No, your memory's not good there.
And I know you gave one.
Memory's
to,
tricky.
No, you remember you played. You were on a football team that wasn't part of the school.
No, this was in middle school.
One,
I was in.
You
this
gave
was in middle
one
school.
To the. You gave one to the coach's son to wear it. Well, maybe you did it more than once.
I don't know what you're talking about. This was in middle school. I remember when it happened. So I was on the middle school football team. I didn't give it to anyone else. It was the last week of school, and I would wear it. And I wore it because I thought I saw people wearing it on TV in Asia, and I thought that would be funny to wear. And then also, I just kind of thought, what are they going to do about it? What can they say, really? Like, is it against the rules? What if I, you know?
Well, they didn't like it. Mm-mm.
They didn't like it. I remember what I got punished for that one, which was that because it was the last week of school, so they didn't let me come in and take the final exams with everyone else. So they would have the half days for the final exams, mm-hmm. and you would come in the morning, and you would be gone at, like, 11 or 12 or something. And for people who got disciplined in that last bit and got in big trouble in the last bit, they would make you come after everyone else left. And so instead of going in at, you know, 8 and leaving at 11, I would go in at 11 and then leave whenever I finished the exams. But this was one of the problems with their punishments in general, I found, was that one, it was all premised upon separation. So it was based upon basically you feeling something or other about not being in the classroom and not being able to go to lunch and not being able to. It's essentially a social penalty. But I didn't really have a lot of social connections.
Mm-mm.
So that didn't really do too much. And then the other.
Obviously not.
And then the other element of it was. And we see that in the thing where they come afterwards is they would just give you, if you were in OCS or whatever, you would get a packet of all of the work that you had to do for the week. It's kind of interesting now because I can see why this would be a problem for people who weren't very good at school. Is you, in theory, the OCS lady was supposed to kind of help you with everything. But she's got 6 different grades. I mean, I'm sure she was capable, but I think for a lot of people, if you get OCS for a week and then you get a whole packet of everything you need to do that week, and you don't have a teacher to teach it to you, they're just kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get that packet, and I would finish it in like half a day, and then I would be done for the week.
Yeah.
And so, and then they would just let me go to the library and stuff. I was like, this is great. I can get my work done a lot faster, and then I have free time to read books and shit.
Yeah, you were.
Even when they suspended me, it was the same thing. They sent home that packet of work for the suspension when I was at home, and it was, I just finished that in the first.
Yeah, I had to go pick it up. Yeah.
Finished it in the first day, and then I had the whole week to myself, and I was just watching daytime TV, playing games. I would go to the drugstore and get some candy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The punishments, you know, they weren't really, and I guess that's why eventually
they were. What were they supposed to do?
I guess that's why they eventually got to the alternative school and said, well, we're going to send you to this school.
No, you're not going there.
Yeah, I don't know what they can really do if you're not responsive to the normal, you know, either because you don't like the disapproval, because some people just don't like to be in trouble. That feels bad. And then two, if you're not responsive to the negatives of not of essentially social isolation, which is what they're, that's kind of what they, if you're not, if those two things aren't really firing, then the punishments they have available to you just really, you know. And I guess maybe if your parents were more hard-ass, that could, you know.
I just didn't see that what you did was, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see that it was anything disastrous. I mean, yeah, I didn't like the poster thing. No, I didn't like that one. But, you know, some of that stuff was, you know, just like you would do your sister, you know, you would do anything to her to get a rise out of her. And I would tell her, I'd say, look, if you stop reacting, he'll stop doing it. Next time she loses her mind again, you know, and it was the kind of the same thing, you know, if they would have ignored you a little bit, you wouldn't have enjoyed all that mess.
Probably. I mean, that was eventually, and you, because you don't even know all the stuff I got in trouble with in high school. Like, you probably think in high school things kind of chilled out a little bit, and I guess they did. But part of what happened in high school was the vice principal that I got assigned, because there were like six of them in the school, the one that I got assigned decided that she was just going to take a very light touch. And so I would get sent to the office, and she would not give me a referral, and she would not have me take it home. She would just have me sit in the office for the period, run passes, and then send me along. And just she, I think she's probably the best administrator I've ever dealt with, in that she actually seemed to get it. Miss Redvine seemed to understand how you got to deal with me. Which is, you can't, there's really, the normal routes don't really work. And since I am successful in the schooling, it's best to just be like, look, this guy, he's only going to be here for so long.
Through the day.
Just get him through and just try to keep him as contained as we can, because there's not going to be a way to just like break him.
No.
And I thought she, you know.
You used your intelligence as a weapon.
Well, what else we've got here? So we've got the behavior. What about the academic element of it? Because I don't know, as a kid, I don't know how much I thought about. It all came very easily, but I mean, did you get any impression from the school or anything like that where they would say, like, oh, you know, this kid, you should get this kid this and that? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, I did.
So what were some of the
You know,
the
you
things
took
you got?
the SATs when you were 12. It was part of the gifted and talented program. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. They called that the talent identification program or
you
something.
Did very well on it.
They gave you a cold SAT, no prep. They gave it to you in, what was it, 11, 12, something like that, before high school. I do remember that in the math, I scored in the upper half of test takers, and that would have been of the normal test takers, not of the 12-year-old test takers. And that's despite the fact that they are testing high school math, which I hadn't done yet. And I do remember getting that back and thinking, like, man, a lot of people in high school are real dumb. Like, how am I in the top half of 12th graders and I'm in 8th grade?
Well, you were freaky smart. It was kind of scary.
Yeah.
You were saying you wanted to be a lawyer when you were like 5 and 6. Okay. I mean,
probably
really?
Because of TV.
Well, I guess you figured with your personality, you would need a lawyer. So.
I do. I find myself. I have found myself in trouble a lot, and needing to help myself and others who chart unconventional paths. I guess.
Yes. Yes. You want to ride that line? That line of. Being obnoxious, but not enough to get called out for it.
Well, the great thing about rules is that they are actually all unclear. You can't write a clear rule because no rule can anticipate all the possible scenarios, you know? And that's fun because people think, oh, well, we'll just write a rule and then people will follow the rule and... But the rules, you start looking at them, and they start to crumble. You start thinking, what does that mean? How does that apply here? What does that word mean in this case? You know, that's the interesting thing about rules.
Do you remember when you were at OU on a full ride scholarship?
That didn't. Yeah, did I have problems at OU? I don't remember.
You got all their. Their custodial people, all their employees, and you made them union.
Oh yeah, I did try to. We did. I did try to organize the custodial staff of the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah,
they did not.
But these are the people that are giving you a full ride, and you're going to do that, really?
Well, what's bad? It's not bad to have a union. It's good to have a union.
Yeah,
so
I'm about
I'm
to
doing,
hand that seating.
How is that? I'm doing a service to the university by trying to assist them in collective bargaining. Well, not necessarily. It just depends on what you bargain for. You know, it's between the parties. They'll have a bargain and see where they want to strike the. But yeah, I would. I had in the left-wing organization that I was in, we would go into the buildings late at night, and we would talk to the janitors and see if they wanted to, you know, create a little list, see if we could help increase their pay and whatnot. We did not. They did not unionize. They would not have been able to unionize anyways because they were public employees, and they don't have that in Oklahoma. But what we would do is we would take... their stories, their information, they would talk to us and we would kind of take down and then we would publicize their situations while keeping them anonymous because we didn't want them to get, you know, in trouble. So we would keep them anonymous, but we would talk about the struggles they had based due to their low pay and other issues. And then we would push... We would do this in the newspaper, and we would fly or do all, you know, normal campus stuff, and then push the administration to enact a campus living wage, which was a thing at the time. People were pushing for campus living wages, and they did actually increase the campus minimum wage by, I don't remember what it was, but it was quite a bit, you know, maybe 20%, 30%, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they committed. So we had two things that were achieved. One, they did increase the minimum wage for campus employees. And then they also committed that going forward, the minimum wage would always increase at a rate higher than the other parts of the wage schedule. So if they were going to increase the pay of, you know, sort of middle income workers at the university by 5%, then they would have to increase the minimum wage by more than 5%. So over time you would get, the wage levels would come closer together.
So there were other people working on this with you?
Yes. Probably 10, 15 people in my organization. Students.
It's like a gang, huh?
You know, I wouldn't say it was a gang. It was politically interested students, you know,
who
believed in the importance of organized labor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think about unions?
If they're strong, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not strong, they're not worth what you're paying.
Right. Oh, so you're saying
I was in the union before.
You're saying from the perspective of the worker, whether they should join or not.
Oh, employers never like unions. Oh,
yeah.
No.
So what? So you were not in a union for most of your working life, and
no,
maybe not for any of my
three years,
because you started out in a warehouse, right?
Right. That's where I met your daddy.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do in the warehouse?
I drove a high-rise forklift.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, there was no air conditioning.
Oh, well. But, you know, the handling of the machinery. So did you,
were
you forklifts?
We had an outside dock, and if it was raining or snowing or whatever, you still had to go out there and get the stuff off the truck.
Were you forklift certified?
I had training, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So you had like a license and stuff?
Yeah.
Something like that. So you had a union there. That would have been the Teamsters, and your experiences with that were what? Mixed? Negative?
They didn't do anything for us.
No.
It was too weak.
The union was too weak? There was not enough buy-in from the workers to pressure
I
management?
I don't know what it was. It just was, I mean, they paid okay. We had insurance, but.
So you think. But
they just really didn't like their employees.
The employer didn't like the employees.
No, they really didn't.
Right. But the union. So you think the union was responsible for the pay being higher, maybe, and the insurance?
Right, maybe.
Yeah. So higher compensation, but. But you don't think that they were able to protect you from employers sort of mistreating you on a day-to-day basis.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I was just a kid, pretty much, 20 years old. And I did it for a little over 3 years, I did it.
Mm-hmm. And then you went into retail.
Then, I just quit that job. I didn't have a job, and I'm hired with JCPenney on a temporary basis to help out with a remodel. And I stayed 31 years and made it all the way up to the operations manager at the end.
There you go. And then they got that Apple executive. Then the Apple executive came in and goofed everything up, and then they had to let you, and you got fired.
They let 22,000 management go, and I was one of them.
This was a cost-saving thing? They felt like they had too many managers?
The funny thing about JCPenney's is it was a wonderful place to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had retirement and profit sharing and 401k match.
Mm.
I had 6 weeks vacation. You got more every year you worked there. They would add on to it a little bit. So really, I guess they decided that we were just too expensive.
Oh, yeah, some of the older workers because of the way the seniority worked.
But then again, you know, I had already earned my retirement. I still had my 401k, which I still have today. It's just invested. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got paid for the 6 weeks vacation and eight months of severance. You know, it wasn't a bad deal.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But then I had to go back to work, of course, and that was a bad deal.
Yes, then you worked for a hospital. So you had three jobs, really. You had the warehouse,
pretty much retail.
And then in the retail, you did a lot of different jobs. But a
lot of different. I did everything. Yeah, I knew I was trying to do everything.
And
banking.
Then you went to being a hospital receptionist.
A friend of mine said, I thought she was a friend. She said, I heard what happened. And I said, yeah. And she was in upper management at the hospital. Her mother had worked for me for years. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, I need somebody like you to come over here and do this job. And I thought, oh, good, good, good. So I had another job before I had even finished up at Penny's.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not a good job. I mean, the money was great. The insurance was great. But if you've ever worked in an emergency room, it's not something that most people would want to do.
A lot of stress. I assume the people coming in there are not in good moods.
Yes, drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I told her one day, I said, you know, I thought you were my friend. But I was just kidding. She gave me a job when I really
wanted. Well, she probably, they probably struggled to fill that role because of
a lot of turnover.
Stress.
Yeah.
And so they thought, oh, here. Here's someone,
I was in charge of all of the registration and such in the emergency room. They put me, and I was trained by the person that I was there to replace. Mm-hmm. Really?
So did you have to take people's insurance information down?
Oh, yeah.
How was that? Did you like doing that?
Well, that was probably the easiest part.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part was really dealing with the actual patients. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, I imagine if you're in an emergency room, probably having a bad day, you know.
Yeah, a lot of them shouldn't have even been there. They were just there because you didn't have to pay.
Yeah, so that's a problem. So you have a lot of people who don't have insurance. And
look, my fingernail broke off really far. Do I have to wait my turn? Well, yeah. You know, we got people having heart attacks and stuff. So your fingernail is pretty far down the list.
So do you think it would be better to sort of guarantee health insurance, sort of like we do with Medicare and whatnot, for everyone so that people in that situation wouldn't go into the emergency room? They would, because they'd have the insurance, they could go to a normal doctor, and since they're insured, they wouldn't, you know.
Well, I don't know how who's going to pay for that insurance.
Mm-hmm. Think it might be too expensive to cover everyone.
I mean, this country is in debt as far as it can go, it looks like. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answers, I don't think. I mean, that would be billions of dollars to give everybody insurance.
If it were, if you could manage it, do you think that would be, would have some benefits, at least when it comes to not stuffing the emergency room with people who...
Oh, yeah.
At least would solve that, if nothing else.
Yeah, it would solve that. Mm. But I just don't know how. I don't know who's planning on paying for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about you know, the fact that elderly people get you know, they all have free health insurance, such as it is. I mean, not free because you got to pay the Part B premium and stuff like that. But it's,
you know, we paid in. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
We paid in. I worked for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for 45 years, they took that money out of my check.
Mm-hmm.
And now people, they want insurance, but they don't want to pay in. They don't want to work.
Mm.
So I don't know where that's going to come from. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know, but
well, what's what else we got here? We got, I guess we kind of, did you, because you, I know you prepared, so is there anything on your sheet that we didn't hit that you want to hit before we close up?
I got one more thing that you used to do.
All right, let's hit it. Hopefully this will be an ender.
Oh, okay. Well, when you were around 7, around 7 years old.
All your stories are before I was 10. You're like, before he became a...
It's up in high school, yeah. Because then you kept... Boy. Well, you kind of kept everything under wraps after that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
These are things that happened at home.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, basically, I think it's normal for kids of this age. You were around 7. Heather would have been 8. 8 and a half, for them to write their names and such on items that they're not supposed to write on. That was the big thing at our house. And I would come across furniture and walls that said Heather. Always said Heather. And she was punished. And... however, she refused to admit to that crime. But then eventually, I caught you writing her name on the wall. So, you were the one doing it all the whole time.
So, these stories have a common theme here.
Related to even you're making your sister's life
falsely incriminating my sister.
That's what you did. That was your hobby.
I feel like that went both ways, though. You know? Well, you're giving the full story, you know?
I don't know. Maybe. And she would retaliate. And she would hide your stuff, remember?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Way after you, I remember you lost an aluminum bat one time that you needed for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked and we looked and we looked and we couldn't find it. Years later, I opened up this old smoker in the backyard and lo and behold, there was your bat. Yeah, I've been in there forever. I had to buy you a new one.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how it got there. What was your impression of me in sport? Did you, you know?
Oh, you were awesome. You were an awesome baseball player, especially.
Yeah, you guys are really into baseball.
You were a pitcher. Yeah, you were good.
You would like baseball because if I am pitching, I'm constantly in action. Whereas with other,
you were good at football too.
With other sports, it's kind of hard to see everyone.
And you did wrestling. You did some basketball, but that was never your high point because of the noise in the gym. You would get a headache.
I don't remember any of that, but I guess so. I remember I got kicked out of basketball tryouts in junior high, and that ended my basketball career. For fighting.
Why did they kick you out? Oh, fighting with who? Your own teammate?
Well, we were all trying out, so we weren't teams per se yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was, you know, I was, I didn't initiate any fights, but people initiated fight with me, and you know, they didn't really get to the bottom of who started the fight. They just kicked us both out of tryouts. I felt like that wasn't really acceptable, you know.
Well, you could always just walk away and catch them later.
No, it's true. It's true. I guess that could have been their point to say, well, you could have removed yourself. Perhaps I could have. But, you know, when you're bawling, sometimes you gotta stand up. You know, you got to let them know that you're not going to take it. You know, keep those hard fouls to a minimum. You know, how it is. Mm-hmm. You used to play basketball. All right. Well, I think that will close it out for the day.
Well, thanks for having me, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be up there soon to see you.
Yes, in 3 days.
3 days. I'll be on the plane.
All right.
I'm gonna watch going to watch your beautiful daughters play soccer.
Yeah, speaking of, she, you know, they're doing a bunch of makeup games because of all the rain. And this yesterday, Sunday, she had two games, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. They won both games, two to one in the first game and 2-0 in the second game, and against different teams. And Jane scored all four goals.
Oh, my God. I believe you. I totally believe. She's good. Yes. I can't wait. I want to get some pom-poms.
So that was quite an exciting day. Her top sports day so far, for sure. It was.
Oh, wow.
She was quite excited. Everyone's celebrating her and these sorts of things, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I cannot wait to see.
Hopefully she can match that. I gave
I
her
love
some.
That. I love that jersey with her name on the back. That is just too cute.
I gave her some tips before the games. I told her to be much more physical. To use her body and her arms to keep you know, to get separation from the opponent and stuff. And she took to that pretty easily and was quite good at it. Definitely was able to, you know, push some of the other girls around. And she only got one penalty when she pushed one of them to the ground. But other than that, she kept it within the realm of legal soccer body positioning.
Good,
I guess, so.
Good, good, good.
All right. Well, I'll,
you don't want her beating them up, you know.
No. But apparently, you know, I don't know too much about soccer. But apparently that's part of the game, is there's a physical component when you're fighting for the ball. You can't, like, hit someone or something, but you can kind of use your shoulder and your arm and kind of, you know, push into someone a little
block
bit.
Block them off of you. Yeah.
And she, you know, I kind of encouraged her
to. As long as nobody does that to her, we'll be good.
Well, they do that sometimes. But that's what I encouraged her. I said, look, this is something you're going to be good at, because you're not very fast, which is, like, you know, that's kind of a knock against you, but you are more sort of violent and, like, psychotic than the rest of these kids. And, like, you could probably, like, these other girls are not going to want to rub, you know, they're not going to want to go as far as you're going to want to go. So just focus on that, because that's the thing you got an advantage on, is your willingness to just be physical. And so, all right, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.